You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watch on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my brother in podcast, Lon.
What's up, Nadia?
Lon.
Yes.
My name is Nadia. I am 25 years old, and I am from Singapore. Does that sound like him? At all?
Who?
Muhammad.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Yeah, that's who I thought you were going for too.
I was going for him.
Yeah.
Dude, his voice is
very,
a lullaby.
Yeah.
I was listening to him when I was making dinner, and I swear I could have fallen asleep.
He sounds like he's high all the time.
Yeah.
Yes, there you go again with the upward inflection.
Yeah. My perfect woman is someone who will love me like a mom. Like, oh my god, he's so like he's stoned. It's like he's always stoned. But anyway, do we want to talk about him first?
Yeah, I really, really like Eve or Yvette. I want her to be happy. And we talked about how maybe that's thing is, you know, she's very nurturing and he's looking for someone to nurture him and to take care of him and stuff. And maybe that's kind of where they're complementary to each other.
Yep.
But I also think that she could get tired of it. I think with all the responsibilities she has, she also kind of deserves some back and deserves some reciprocity. And hopefully somebody can take care of her too, you know? And you would think that maybe he would try to do more for her too. But instead, he came off as like he was giving her a pass when she didn't like
set up the bidet.
The bidet, right? Yeah. It was more like he was giving her a pass when he could have offered to maybe do that with her or do it together and stuff. And he's like, oh, you'll get to it. You know what I mean? And then on the interview section, he's all, yeah, I was disappointed that she didn't. I'm like, come on, she's already taking care of somebody else. And I understand that maybe she wants to take care of you. And that's the kind of relationship you have, but also you could maybe help her out. And I understand where he's coming from, that, you know, just like everybody else, you know, he's kind of put all his eggs in one basket and he's moved here for her and all that stuff. So that's also understandable. But my friend told me, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup. Mm. And if someone is just constantly keeps giving, after a while, they won't have more to give. Right. So I hope that maybe eventually he'll give back as well. And then this relationship can be more a 50-50 thing, a partnership, rather than her taking care of another person. He's not special needs or anything like that. So he could totally pitch in, I guess, you know, but he seems nice enough, you know, and there's going to be obviously the whole culture difference that we see and play up so many times with Western women and Muslim men and things like that. But he does, he seems nice enough. He's soft-spoken, smiling. But for me, one of the only red flags I've seen so far was when he did that. And he seemed nice about it. I was thinking, well, you can help her out. It's not like, well, you'll get to it. It's okay. And then tell people, I'm disappointed she didn't do it. You know?
Like, yeah. That could be the fabricated part. Maybe.
Yeah.
We have to see what his true colors are, because he hasn't shown any other emotion except for the stoner.
Yeah. But then, but apparently he was really upset about the bikini. Bikini Emmett, the bikini.
The bikini?
Yeah. She told her friends that she sent him a photo, or either she sent him a photo or there was a photo on social media where she was in a swimsuit.
Okay.
And he was so upset about it. And the friends were like, what? No, you gotta be you know? And they're obviously doing the whole, we got your back sort of thing.
Yeah.
But apparently he didn't like that at all. Interesting. You know, so again, they're going to play up that whole culture difference. And, you know, she had to explain, well, you know, women are covered and, you know, it's a big thing when you show your arms and things like that. So imagine seeing your fiance in a swimsuit and stuff like that. So, you know, they're going to play that up and stuff like that, which I already expect. But all that aside, religious differences and cultural differences aside, I don't think that's a cultural difference where you're telling someone what to do and you're expecting them. You're already expecting to be babied. Let her baby you the way she babies you. And I don't think you have a right to tell her what to do if you're going to be a baby about it.
That shit will grow old so fast for her, because she's already got her special needs son to take care of. And yeah, she's nurturing. We can see that. But how long will that last, right? Before it gets annoying for her, because she has to take care of her son, and then now she has a second son to look after.
Yeah. It
cannot work, right? That's the thing about all these 90 Day Fiancé couples, is that the partner coming to the US is not able to work until they get their green card. So yeah, she will have to take care of him financially. The least he can do is install his own bidet.
Yeah. Right.
Like, you will have to buy it for him, but at least install it on your own, or at least offer to help out around the house, which I would like to see how that goes. I don't know how that would transpire later on, but I'm also curious as to whether or not he can handle having Tharan, her son, around, and how he's going to handle a special needs child of his own partner. Like, will he be able to take on that responsibility of taking care of the son while she goes to work, you know?
Was her son was with the dad this episode, I think, or something?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, so that's something I would like to see, like, and maybe that's when we're going to see his true colors.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to Emily and Kobe.
Unpopular opinion. I understand where Emily's coming from.
Me too.
Yeah, I do.
You guys haven't been together for 2 years. Like, wouldn't you want to spend some quality time together?
Yeah, I get it. I see both sides, but I think Emily is seeing the entire timetable. Not the entire timetable, because I think to Kobe's point, we're going to be married. We have the rest of our lives to see each other or whatever. But like, in this particular moment of time, this is the only opportunity you'll have.
Right.
You know what I mean? For right now, it's the only opportunity you'll have. So if you don't take advantage of the opportunity, then you'll never, you know what I mean? So I think she wanted to seize that moment to at least look like, for now, let's be us and let's try to get back on track. So I get it. I get it. And the sentiment on Twitter was like, I can't believe he let him see his son. Okay. I understand that. But at the same time, you know, if this is the only opportunity that they have before living with her parents,
take it.
Maybe the sun can wait. Like,
just for one day, one night, right? It's just one night of
like, you fuck know, me, the, am I the bad guy? Like, I get it. Like, I sympathize with her on that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why people are trying to slut shame her or trying to say she's a bad parent. She's trying to work on the foundations, which is the relationship that she has with the father of her son, right?
Yeah.
And I thought that was normal. I would have done it myself. And I don't understand why people are like,
I'm glad you said that. Glad you said that, because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, but I probably would have done that too. I would have done that too.
If I hadn't seen my partner for 2 years. Yeah. Why can I have some quality alone time with the person that I'm so attracted to, right?
Yeah.
So and she's clearly still attracted to him, and she definitely wants to get it on. Let her get it on. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, that aside, I'm more concerned about the fact that he raised, you know, several good points, such as the fact that there's probably no diversity in the town that they live in.
Yep.
Which might make his stay challenging. Mm-hmm. I'm personally worried for him. I don't know if they're still there. I didn't like want to spoil this for us or for myself. So I haven't Googled anything about them, but I'm worried about him being the, I mean, he's a minority already, but like the fact that he's in a small town, I don't know how that's like for him. I hope he's still comfortable. I hope he's safe, but that's a cause for concern, at least for me. Like I personally would not move to a small town where I don't see people who look like me.
Mm.
That's just me, right? I like to see a variety of people so that I know that I'm not in some cult town, you know, like people are going to hunt me down because I look different or something. Yeah. The other thing that I thought was a good topic to discuss was the fact that what Kobe said about what people in China thought about him, that's sad, but that's also kind of true because there is that discrimination in East Asia against people who are much darker, and that's still very prevalent. And my heart goes out to him. I don't know how he's able to survive in China as an underwear model. Yeah, what he said, it makes sense to me because that's the same thing I heard or I was told. Yeah, and the other thing that surprised me about them is the engagement ring. I mean, he bought a roadside ring. I don't know, like a toy ring. Is that what it is? And I'm like, what? Yeah, replace that. But anyway.
Yeah, is that why she said she didn't want a cheapo ring? So she said she's going to buy her own ring?
Yeah, and or she wants the proceeds from the sale of the cafe to go towards that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
At least that's how I interpret it. Like she wants him to contribute to the baby stuff and also in the hopes of, I guess, getting a better upgraded ring.
Right. Rings are overrated, y'all.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't say diamond though, to be fair. I think she mentioned diamond. So maybe she didn't really want an expensive ring.
Right. I think they're really cute together.
I like Kobe. He's very chill. I felt like during dinner, Emily was so intense and Kobe was like, babe, are we going to spend time? Like, I feel like he's the yin to her yang, I guess. Like he's the calm one and she's the one that's super intense. Like we got to go. And he's like, okay, well, chill.
Yeah. I think they get along really well. We haven't really seen any conflict. And the small conflict we did see, the disagreement where I want to see my kid, you know, he was able to compromise or let that go. And then he didn't make a big deal of it. Like he didn't try to make her feel guilty or anything like that. It seems like a healthy kind of relationship, you know, where they don't know how to communicate with each other. Neither of them are like super fucking serious about things. It just felt really refreshing to kind of watch their relationship. I'm rooting for the both of them.
Me too. Are you also rooting for Beanie and Ari?
Oh man.
Like who's in the wrong here? If you could pick a side. I know we were talking about the wine throwing that you were looking forward to. So now that the whole scene has played out, who's in the wrong here?
Beanie and Beanie's family. So let me say first that I understand what Ari means and that's your responsibility. That's your family. You need to inform your family of that. And when I say Beanie's family, I think that was definitely an overreaction. And in America, that's assault. I don't know how the laws are over there, but in America, that's assault of getting something thrown. We see it a lot now. It's like every season of 90 Day Fiancé, a drink gets thrown in someone's face, right?
Yeah.
But wow, this was super dramatic.
This is red wine.
Yeah. And of all the things that set off his sister, it was the statement, I'm not marrying you, I'm marrying him, or whatever, however she phrased it. That was what set her off, I think. Or maybe it wasn't, but
I thought it was the part where they say, oh, we try to be sisters to you. And then Ari said, you're not sisters to me. You're not even remotely close. You guys don't act like sisters to me. And I think that might have been the trigger rather than the other sentence that you just said.
Yeah. The way they edited it was like, well, I'm not marrying you. I'm marrying Binium. And then she's like,
yeah.
But yeah, obviously it's not what's on the surface, right? There's probably, it's probably been there. And that was just the moment that it actually happened. But that's all Binium's fault. And the sisters need to see that too. The sisters totally flipped it on her. You know, well, as family, you should have said something too. Well, okay, I could see where it isn't my place to say. You know what I mean? And I could see myself in her shoes going, Benny, have you told them? Benny, have you told them? Benny, you should really tell them. Like, I could see myself doing that. Like, you better tell them, right? This was in the books the entire time. This was the purpose. This was the goal.
Yeah.
That's the reason you got in on the show, was for the 90-day visa. Maybe it's a surprise that he sprang it overnight, but this shouldn't be a surprise in the long term of the bigger picture of things. This is the whole reason the show exists, is that he's going to come over to the States for 90 days.
Yeah. This is the end game.
Yeah, totally.
So the sister should have seen this coming, and maybe it was short notice, but I blame Binnie because Binnie was probably not keeping them in the loop. But I also blame Binnie for pitting them against each other, because like the sisters said, they know, or they were told, that Binnie is unhappy with Ari. So they've always been very protective of their little brother. And they felt like, okay, this relationship is a no-go to us. It's very toxic. She's not a good fit, maybe. And when Ari said all those things to them, they're probably super triggered by it, because they're like, oh, you're not taking our brother away because you're going to make him miserable. Or you're going to dump his ass somewhere and he's going to be miserable in the US. So I think they're coming from a very protective place.
Oh, yeah. She's horrible to Bing. The recap footage from like the previous season, it really reminded me, because I forgot. I didn't forget, but I forgot the intensity that it was like, that it came out with, where she was like yelling at him and dropping curse words and saying, like, threatening that he'd never see his son again or some shit. And I was like, wow, like, that was pretty shitty, you know. That was bad.
She was trying to act like a victim too. Remember when she was breaking the news to him in the barber shop and she was the one crying?
Yeah. Right.
This girl, come on, man.
Yeah. I'd forgotten all that stuff, but then the replay really set it back, like, okay, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's actually been a very terrible person towards Binnie. And was that before the 90 days still, or, and then they're just now filming 90 days and it's a new show for them.
Yeah. They're like a returning couple from the before the 90 day series.
I feel like we've been watching them for like 4 years.
Yeah. Right.
But I know this podcast isn't 4 years old, but it just seems like they've
been
on here forever.
We're a 2-year-old podcast, by the way, but it just feels like we've been talking about Ari and Binnie a lot.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you surprised that she has a live-in nanny, even though they live in a hotel?
I mean, like, not really. It's just, she comes from privilege, right? She even says it, that she comes from like some suburb.
Princeton, you mean?
Yeah.
Princeton, New Jersey. Yeah, that area code, dude. That's like, it's probably one of the affluent area codes in New Jersey. I guess I shouldn't be surprised. I have some tea to spill about Binnie.
Let's hear it.
So this is from Reddit. I forgot what the title was, but I clicked on it and it says here, Binnie's ex-wife, the other American chick that he impregnated, she recently got married, or she recently remarried, I guess. She posted a new wedding video, and obviously the comment section is filled with people accusing her of keeping Binnie from his son. Some of her friends responded and stated that Binnie has never been kept from his son. He just wasn't an active dad. And instead, he played off that the ex-wife took their son away because TLC gave them that storyline. But in reality, Binnie just didn't want to pay his child support, so he willingly gave up his rights to his son, and his ex-wife's new husband is now adopting him.
Wow.
Wild, huh?
That changes.
Right?
A lot.
I was like, I read that and I'm like, damn, I wish I could find that post. But yeah, this is like someone reposted from maybe Facebook or somewhere else, where, I mean, kind of makes sense. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but
he's doing well now over here dancing on Instagram Live. Boy, you better send some money over to your kid, bro.
I know. But I guess he was struggling too. So it's like, okay, can I support my first son? Maybe not, you know? So maybe that's why he gave up his custodial rights to his son.
Yeah.
Are we ready to talk about the biggest rapper in South Dakota? I wouldn't say he's a rapper, but he's a, what is it? A space punker?
That's what they call it, right?
Yeah. Space punk, you know, punk rock mixed with electronic hip hop.
He's an artist.
He's an artist.
Yeah.
Cowboy.
You know, I don't know. I'm starting to really like Miona.
Oh.
She's growing. She's growing on me.
Is that how you like Yara? Like all these Eastern European women that's just like no bullshit. I see a pattern here.
She's sweeter than Yara though. Yara is sweet. Yeah. Julia, see, I think she's sweeter than Julia too.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I haven't seen her be super overtly confrontational. There's things she disagrees with sometimes, but even in that, she's nice about it. Like she tries to make it playful, like, oh, really? I don't think we're going to stay here that long. Like, yeah, I mean, but she's not super in your face. Like, no, that's not going to happen. And I'm putting my foot down about it. Yeah. Like she doesn't have the attitude, I guess, that Yara and Julia has.
Yeah.
And she just seems really sweet and non-confrontational. And I think she rolled with the punches pretty well when she met the parents, and the parents really like her too. Yeah. So I really found myself, you know, starting to grow to like her, you know, blackfishing aside and all that stuff, which she has justifications for. But in this episode, that was really my, my key takeaway. And I think there's definitely going to be friction, but they need to settle that. She doesn't want to stay there.
That's, you know what? It makes sense, because if her ambition is to be a makeup artist, sure, she can get a job here and there in small town South Dakota, but I think it makes more sense for her to go to Hollywood. You know,
there isn't a need for makeup artists over where they live
right,
at
in the
now.
Dakotas. Like,
yeah,
maybe she can tap into the wedding industry there, but in a small town in South Dakota, I don't know how successful she's gonna get. Like, I'm pretty sure the market's already saturated with a lot of existing makeup artists.
Mm.
Unless she's really great at her job, I don't know what she can do. I mean, she can obviously start off being an influencer, right? Doing what Yara and Stepanko or Britney does, you know, like start off doing the social media thing and then kind of work her way up. And it sounds like she has a good plan. She wants to start her own makeup line.
Right.
But which other better place to do that at than either New York or Los Angeles?
It has to be a major metropolitan city.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Or even if they go to Chicago, I think she can at least do something there. She can make it out there, but not South Dakota. But
his band is in LA though, right? Or
Chicago.
Oh, is it Chicago?
Yeah,
David.
David, isn't he based in Chicago? In Illinois, at least? Or not,
I forget. Yeah, I thought they were in LA at the time when they were recording.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But I thought she has a great plan for herself and it makes sense for her to go to LA. Having said that, I do think that they should count their lucky stars, because lately housing prices and rents have been going up. So they definitely need to save money. So in that sense, I agree with Jibri. Like, they do need to save the money, because I'm pretty sure he spent a lot of it on cowboy boots and cowboy suits and obviously her visa. So they definitely need to recoup the losses that they made while traveling around the world. So it makes a lot of sense, you know, like you're just coming out of the pandemic, you lost income as an artiste. So you definitely need to be frugal for now.
Yeah, this is going to play out like the Brandon and Julia storyline. I think they disagree now. And I think Jibri is worried about financial issues, but there's going to be pressure, because I think he's going to be stuck between pleasing his fiance and pleasing his parents. And then maybe, just like Brandon, being tired of his parents' rules and living under his parents' supervision all the time, going, fuck, we really do. We need to get out of here.
Yeah.
It may come to a point where they just get fed up and they're like, we need our own space. Yeah. We definitely need our own space. Yeah. So that's kind of what it felt like when she was like, yeah, I've only been here a few hours and already we have problems. Like we can't stay here. we're not going to do this.
It's a tight living situation. As the
Yeah. But I think that's fair. You know, what the mom said, like a couple meals a night.
Yeah.
And she was good about it. He was rolling his eyes and stuff. But again, and this goes to why I started to really like her. She's like,
she played.
Sure. The food might not be the best, but you know, well,
we can try. We can do
it. I was like, that's how I would expect people who are living under someone else's roof to kind of act like, okay, I get it. Yeah. That's how I would have taken it. Like, oh, sure. I'll do the dishes, throw the garbage. Like,
I mean, rent free.
Yeah. Come on. It was everything that we thought Julia would do when Julia was like cooped up in the room. Like, you could kind of pitch in maybe.
Yeah. But I do have to say Miona's going to get a shock because I don't think people know the extent of how expensive living in the US can be.
Yep.
Once
in
she
the city
figured
especially.
Out, yeah. I mean, once she figured out the move to the LA and how much it would cost and what kind of housing they have over there, then she's going to miss South Dakota and the space that they had. My guess, at least.
Yeah. I think too, though, when I think about it, she's going to be kind of like a pseudo celeb. And moving out to LA and maybe saying, yeah, well, I was on this show might give her some clout or maybe not. Maybe they'll be like, psh, who the fuck does she think she is just because she was on 90 Day Fiancé? Like, it could also be like that, right? That's you don't get any credit for that here.
She could get makeup jobs because she's on 90 Day Fiancé. Mm-hmm. That separates her from all the other average makeup artists that don't have a backstory.
Right, right.
You know, that could elevate her in a way because she's a D-list celebrity. You know, I do hope she gets her beach wedding. Fingers crossed. I don't know how that's going to be possible. All right, Lon, we haven't come to the end, but we've come to our last couple, Bilal and Shahida. I believe we have a lot to say about this particular couple.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to put it out there that if someone were to grade me, the relationship is done. Like, I'm not getting graded. That's just not happening.
Yeah.
For him to like grade her, I'm like, dude, that's
I must have missed that. What did he give her?
He said, oh, you know, it started out as a D-, maybe even an F. But, you know, at least now she's trying to put in some effort. And I'm like,
what?
Bruh, I mean,
because of the test?
Yeah, because of the test, right? Sure. That's why he graded her. And let's not forget the passive-aggressive t-shirt that he was wearing.
I saw that.
I was like, this bitch.
Yeah, I saw that.
Come on, man.
Yeah, that's cool that you said passive-aggressive because, definitely passive-aggressive. The way I saw it, he was trying to do the power of suggestion, and I tweeted that out.
Yeah.
It was like, he's wearing it for her to see. And then, you know, so that when she does see the new home and stuff, I'm like, dude, you're so weird, dude. Yeah, I don't know. I think she's really smart. I think she's got a good head on her shoulders. So even after the whole, I'm relieved. She still was like, but we got problems.
Yeah, totally.
This is bullshit what you put me through and we got problems still. Like, he's not walking out this easy. So what? Yeah, you know what I mean? I was like, okay, good. She knows what's up. That means he doesn't trust me. And
he's not being real.
Yeah, he's not being real. If anything, she has every right not to trust him now. As much as he's putting her through the test, like, he's actually showing how shitty of a person he is. And didn't she say that she was like, yeah, I'm grateful we have like 89 more days to figure this shit out.
Yeah.
So we got problems.
She wasn't sure if she wants to marry him now because she thought, okay, you know, I'm going to arrive in the US and we're going to get married eventually. But the fact that he put her through a test is already giving her pauses, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the same. I think this is not cool. Like, you trying to like give me a test and grading me and being passive aggressive. Like, do we have to do that?
Yeah. He's already showing his true colors, but as we've seen from the preview, it gets worse. It gets worse from here. I think
what's,
like
I might have missed the preview. What do you think is happening?
So not in the episode coming up, but they did that, you know, this season on NBA Fiancé. Yeah. And there was a part where in the car where he was really pissed. And I get it. I think she touched his hair or something. I think did he kick her out of the car? I forget exactly what happened.
He said, but if you do that again, I would stop this car and you got an Uber home or something.
Yeah, like yeah, yeah. And he was being a real jerk about it. So we're gonna see more.
He's really trying to exert power and to really let her know that in this relationship, like, I am the alpha and the omega. You need to know your role and stay in your lane, but I'm the boss here. And I don't really like that. It's not equal partnership in my point of view.
Yeah,
he knows he has the money, but he lets his ego and take over. Like, he should really put that aside. So what if you have a successful career? It doesn't make you any better than anyone else. You know, like, you're not on a different level just because you have a successful career. You should treat your partner the same.
Right. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I've seen this too as a power play from the start.
Yeah.
I mean, he perceives himself to be a very powerful person. And I think he also truthfully perceives her to be very powerful as well, and that intimidates him and makes him insecure. So he tries to exert power over her, and it's manifesting in these things. It's manifesting in these tests. You know, it's manifesting in him trying to humble her or to
put her in a place.
Put her in her place. Force her into a lane. You know what I mean? Like, dude.
It's very patriarchal.
Yeah.
I don't like this vibe.
But at the same time, I'm like, isn't this kind of what caught your eye in the first place, though? That she is like a very powerful person, a very independent person.
Yeah, she can hold successful. Her own.
Right. Yeah. Isn't that what attracted you to her in the first place? But now, you know what I mean? That it makes you feel some type of way that maybe you need to be acting up and trying to make her somewhat beneath you a certain, you know what I mean? Yeah. So,
like, she has to be forever grateful that you brought her to the US.
Right.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on now. Yeah. I hope this is all fabricated, because I really want to root for them. I think they're the first Black Muslim couple.
Mm.
I don't remember seeing any other Black Muslim couples out there, but yeah, I really want to root for them. I think they're a cute couple. They look cute together. I like to see her yoga career take off.
They have the potential to be a power couple.
They do.
Yeah, if he stops like playing these fucking games, they could totally be a power couple. On the previews, it makes it seem like they're the power couple, right? He's successful, she's successful, but again, to start off the season with having these crazy ass, like, whatever this test or whatever it is, it's just it's not a good look.
Yeah.
There are people too who are Team Bilal, though.
Interesting.
No, that's weird, right?
Because I think this is where the internalized misogyny comes in. It's like, people see Shahida and they're like, oh yeah, definitely a gold digger.
Right. But it's like, the gold digger narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're saying
that 90 Day Fiancé is trying to play out, by the way.
Like, right. Like that. Right.
Yeah.
So they see that angle and they're like, well, she was acting that way because she saw him in his Louis Vuitton luggage and blah, blah, blah. And so I've seen those comments too, that there are people that are like, okay, well, maybe the house wasn't fixed up. Let's be honest, she's acting this way because of how he presented himself, which was money, which was richness. So I get that too now. I'm like, all right. Yeah, I mean, but again, that's how he presented himself. So can we blame her for maybe him misrepresenting himself or whatever? Like,
the one thing I can say about that is, don't be putting out gold if you don't want to attract gold diggers.
100% agree. When you set the precedent that way,
exactly.
Like, what are they supposed to expect?
Right. If you come to Trinidad with a Louis Vuitton bag, knowing that everyone else is, I mean, not looking like you with your Gucci belt, your Louis Vuitton bag, you know, whatever, a tailored suit, you know, what have you, you're sending out a signal.
Right.
I'm not saying Shahida is a gold digger or anything, but some people may see that as, you know, like, oh, okay, he's rich. Like, maybe I want to get with him. But generally, I want to say women see that and they see stability.
Right.
Maybe, you know,
if you project women, yourself, right, as successful.
Right.
Right. And you're right, right, right. It's not necessarily.
Women would see that and they'd be like, okay, if he looks like that, if he can afford that, it means he's stable. He has a good career. I think if you don't have any other hidden agenda, that's how that's interpreted. I don't think it's necessarily like, okay, I'm going to drain him of his gold.
It's not about the materialism.
Yeah. It's more about the stability.
It's more about, right, the stability. Can you take care of me, especially if you're getting into a relationship?
Yeah.
Right. And you present yourself as somebody who has the means and the capability to do that. Right. Exactly. That's 100% where I'm at. You know, Shade is, I believe, also is successful in her own right.
Right.
She can get her own things. Yeah. So when it comes down to the materialistic side of things, she doesn't need somebody to provide those things for her, at least after this whole 90-day period is over with, because she could get those things for herself. Yeah. If you've been on her social, you can see already she's involved with like fashion brands and all these other things. She has her yoga studio or whatever. So like she's already successful and she's doing good on her own.
Yeah.
And someone who's good on their own doesn't need someone to provide these particular things for them. They can get
exactly. I bet you when she first met him, she probably think, oh, that's my equal. Oh, that's someone that I can see myself with, you know, not necessarily like, oh, he has a Gucci belt, LV luggage, whatever. Right. It's more of like, okay, he's probably successful and I want to be with that kind of man. Like I said in our last episode, it's normal to have standards.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that that's a fake statement, you should look in the mirror because you yourself probably has.
Everyone does.
Yeah, everyone does.
Yeah.
Whether it's low or high, I mean, everyone has standards. So, right, Lon, it's that time. What is your WTF moment?
This is going to be so easy and obvious. The Cabernet in the face of Ari. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
I didn't actually see that in the previews. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. So when it happened, I was caught off guard. I was like, oh, shit. I remember seeing pictures of it on Twitter and going, wow, this is going to be nuts. So like, yeah, that was what the fuck? And the way it went down, I didn't know it was going to be like a conversation. I just didn't know the context surrounding that. But like, for it to even be Benny's fault now was like surprising too. This should have been all on Benny. You know, the way I saw this happening when I did like start seeing pictures and things and when I caught glimpses of it, like I made this story in my head that maybe she said something. Well, and I guess she kind of did.
She did. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess she kind of did, but I thought it was going to be more her fault. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like, I think Ari was too calm. And maybe that's not red wine. Maybe that's, you heard this brand called Ribena?
No, like it's a black wine.
It's a black currant syrup water. So not syrup water, but it's black currant. And then you just pour water and it's like Kool-Aid, but black currant.
Oh, okay.
It's called Ribena.
It's like a fruit drink.
Yeah, it's a fruit drink. So I was like, Ari's too calm. Maybe that's not red wine. Maybe she expected it, but I don't know. I just felt like she was too calm. Like she kind of took it and she was like, oh, okay, I've got spill like, you know, all over my clothes and face. But I was like, she's very calm.
What I didn't get into, and maybe I can get into it too for this WTF moment, is I think Benny too should have at that point stuck up for his wife, maybe.
Right. He was too calm. He was too laid back. I don't like that.
Yeah. I love my brothers to death. I do. I love my brothers. But if they threw wine at my other's face, my partner's face, we would have words at the very least.
Totally.
You might want to shut the cameras off. I'm going to have a word with my brothers.
Right?
And he's just over here like, oh, I don't know what's going on.
I know.
Bruh, you need to talk to your fucking sisters about that. Are you going to stick up for Ari? You know, or something? Say something? And he just acted like, oh, this is too confusing right now. Yeah. Dude, this is your wife, like, or going to be your wife. You need to set the precedent right now that they need to respect this person.
I want to say a real man would have said something or would have at least reacted accordingly, but
yeah,
not being
keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth.
Slap.
Yeah, and obviously not his sisters, but
yeah,
stand up for your partner.
Yeah,
no, that, and that goes both ways, husbands and wives. You gotta stick up for your partner. And maybe there's some family issues and there's loyalty to your family, but there's a line, you know. That was assaulting your partner is one of those lines where like, okay, this is,
you can't cross that line.
Yeah.
Well, my WTF moment is when Muhammad did not get his bum gun, aka bidet. Bum gun. Someone on Pillow Talk called it bum gun.
A bum gun.
He called it faucet. So I'm like, okay, cute. But yeah, I just thought like he was so disappointed that he didn't get the bum gun. But I understand the logic behind it because, yeah, you do have to cleanse yourself. And part of cleansing yourself before praying is to clean your every hole. So so I guess you definitely need the bum gun.
So, okay, well, let me ask you this then. Maybe you might know more. So is this actually common, bidets, then in Muslim cultures?
No, not necessarily Muslim culture, but in other countries like Japan, France, they use bidets.
Right.
Yeah, and I think because Egypt and North Africa were French colonies, or some people would say are still French colonies. Right. But yeah, I'm guessing they took on the bidet thing. I honestly don't know where it started from, but I know the Japanese are big on it. Like they have
really good. Well, I ask because the way he made it sound, you know, where, which I understood, you know, was we have to pray and we have to be clean and stuff. Then I was like, oh crap. Like, does every Muslim then have a bidet? Cause they need to clean or. And I was just like, maybe it's more common than I thought in terms of like the Muslim.
I want to say maybe, yeah. But I feel like there are other ways to clean nether regions. And maybe bidet is one of the more sophisticated way. But, you know, I think for the most part, like washing.
Right. In the Philippines.
Instead of using the tissue paper is a predominantly practiced in like maybe other culture. I'm not saying it's just a Muslim thing, but I'm pretty sure other cultures like, they clean their asses with water.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, yeah. Shout out to my Filipinos. Y'all know about the tabo, right? Or
you
have like a thing like of water.
Pill,
and you
right?
pour it. Yeah,
yeah. I know what you're talking about. So, growing up, I think my mom stacked a lot of those pills.
Yeah, and you know, coming from the West, you're like, what's that about?
Yeah,
people have to explain it to you. Like, oh, okay. I'll try that next time.
Yeah, like anything you want to recommend our viewers to watch.
I actually finished Married at First Sight, the new season of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, y'all know I'm into true crime, the Gacy. John Wayne Gacy conversations or something like that. I forgot
about that. The leaked tapes or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Highly recommend those. And obviously I'm starting Ozark. Shout out to my hip hop fans. They play Nas's Illmatic album throughout the entire first episode of
Front Door. That's one of the best hip hop albums.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That makes me want to watch it now.
Hey. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for listening, WTFers. If you love the podcast, give us a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. It is appreciated and really helps us out. You can also find us under listener support on anchor.fm and donate for as low as 99 cents or on Patreon at WTF Extra. You can engage with us on email, Twitter, and Instagram at 90dayfiancewtf. We especially would like to hear what your WTF moments are each episode. We might even shout you out. Don't forget to like, share, and follow the podcast.
Happy Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. Oh my God, that's
A-A-P-I.
Quite verbose. AAPI Heritage Month. And Eid Mubarak to all my Muslim friends. And all listeners that are celebrating that. Oh, isn't it Cinco de Mayo soon?
Cinco de Mayo. Star Wars Day.
May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Oh, there we go. Happy Mother's Day. That's a lot to be celebrating.
Right.
Anyway, Long, any last words?
I think that's it for me.
All right. Well, till next time, be kind to one another.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.